Are you ready, Alabama?
Hello? What, who's there? What's going on?
You're listening to Hour Number 2 in the Doghouse.
Whatever's happening here, just knock it off.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
These kids are weird, man. They're weird.
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios.
How you doing?
It's the Tom Abraham Show.
That might be listed in Revelations as the cause for the apocalypse.
Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog.
You're the smartest guy I've ever met.
Tom Abraham.
You want me to do this crap?
I guess I'm on here. Am I on? Can somebody respond?
All right, I posted your trifecta at the Facebook fan page. At least I think I did. I don't know. I'm still not good doing social while I'm trying to do the show. I'd be totally honest with you. It's one thing that, you know, I like to think that Colt Kubelik and I, you know, we taught each other a lot of things. And, you know, I was instrumental in bringing him over here to the Ump. His career's taken off like crazy. He's doing great. But I needed to learn more from him about how to do social while I'm doing the show, you know, cause he's a master at that. I'm not great at that, but, you got till midnight tonight to get into this week's trifecta, which is basically, it's brought to you by Talladega Super Speedway. And it's really a daily double. It's this simple. How many teams from the SEC make the Sweet 16? 0-8. And give me a car in the Auto Club 400 in California. And, everybody who hits that will be entered into drawing for the entire weekend at Talladega. Two tickets to the truck race, two tickets to the Xfinity race, two tickets to the cup race on Sunday. And there's only going to be about 6 or 8 people in this drawing. So you got a great chance to win. But first, you got to get this right. All right, another guy that can help you out with this is Steve Merrill from ProSportsInfo.com. And he joins us now on the Woody Anderson Ford VIP Hotline. Steve, welcome in. How are you?
Hey, Tom. Doing well.
Man, I'll tell you what. Is this a great time of year or what, man? This is like... You know, this is like Easter and Christmas and Thanksgiving all rolled into one here as we unfold this tournament and watch it all just kind of happen.
No question. I think it's the best thing in sports. And, you know, the betting public feels the same way. Super Bowl might be the biggest bet sport, but when you combine all 63 NCAA tournament games, well, actually, I guess it's 67 with the play-in games, the handle is the same as the Super Bowl. So this is a big event for both spectators and sports bettors.
And the sheer number of people who don't call themselves bettors who make out brackets. I mean, everybody makes out brackets. My daughters are texting me. They want me to help them with their brackets and their office pools and things like that. You know, these people are not quote-unquote bettors, but for a minute they are, really. I mean, this is what they get a chance to kind of experience the thrill of what we do on a regular basis by making out this bracket. And it's an exciting thing.
And, you know, once again, I just want to remind everybody, as the NCAA will tell you, these brackets are for entertainment purposes only.
right. Sure.
The hypocrisy is almost as big as it is with the NFL. There's just so many comparisons to the Super Bowl. Because, like you said, the bettors come out of the woodwork. You know, they play the squares contest in the Super Bowl. Or they look. We start talking about the props finally for the Super Bowl. You know, they never talk about them the rest of the year. Same thing with the tournament. You know, nobody cares about college basketball until right now.
We had over 200 people in our contest last year, and my wife tied for the championship, all right, with a listener. And she doesn't know if the ball's blown up or stuffed. She was like, what are those numbers next to their names? You know what I mean? I mean, she had the seedings. And, but you know what? There were games where she saw me, she'd come in a room and she'd see me, and she doesn't watch college basketball, and she'd see a game in, like, you know, North Carolina be playing Michigan or something, and she's watching, and she'll watch for a little while because who do I have? She goes and gets her bracket, and she looks at who she has, and then she's upset if she has the team that has the uglier uniform or something like that. But that's what it does. It takes people who really don't pay attention. I wonder how many people less, if there wasn't a bracket that we made out, I wonder what percentage of viewership would go down, even amongst sports fans, if we didn't have this bracket.
It's the same percentage that would probably go down on NFL games if there wasn't fantasy football or sports betting. It's the same thing with any sport. And it's just why, you know, the hypocrisy and with the legalization hopefully is coming. But the two biggest opponents has been the NCAA, and probably the NFL is the biggest. Because, in fact, Major League Baseball and the NBA have already come out for a couple years, as you know now, with the new commissioners and said we're in favor of legalized sports betting. It's always been the NCAA and the NFL. Yet the two biggest betting events and the two biggest sporting events of the year are there too, and they probably would have less than half, maybe 80% less if it wasn't for the brackets or the Super Bowl betting, et cetera.
You know, and I wonder, I mean, you got bracket contests that you can get into. I wonder if there would be more of a handle, like in Vegas right now where it is legal. I would assume you can enter brackets where you do a bracket and you pay $100 or $500 or $1,000, whatever you want to pay, and you're in a money game, right, as opposed to, you know, playing each and every game.
Yeah, the thing about the bracket, too, is you have to always – every bracket is different. Most of them double up every round with the points. You know, we get right. So excited about these first-round upsets and what's going to be the 12-over-5 upset this year. But to be honest, you could pick every game right in the first round, but if you only get half of the games right in the third or fourth round, you're still not going to come out ahead because with the doubling up and everything, you almost have to get the Final Four, have to get the national champ right. Now, some contests just do a single point on every pick, and that makes the first-round games more important, obviously. And I actually prefer those because a lot of these are too heavily weighted on the Final Four, and it really takes the fun out of those first-round upsets.
Yeah, that's true. All right, I'll ask you the question that we are asking our listeners. How many SEC teams survived the weekend?
Well, shoot, I didn't realize there were 8 until you just said that on the intro. So that shows how little I pay attention to that kind of stuff. But I do think the SEC was obviously down this weekend, this year. Mm-hmm. I will say Kentucky is a dangerous team, but they're going to have to probably get by Arizona in the second-round matchup. Kentucky is one of the teams that always starts slow. They're so young every year, 10 losses, and then they go and they win the SEC championship. We talked about Alabama on the show last week when they had that huge comeback against Auburn in the second half. Mm-hmm. They got a tough seed, though, because they're going to have to play Villanova in the second round. So, you know, those are two teams right there that could be dangerous but might not get any farther. Florida, meanwhile, is going to have trouble with St. Bonaventure tomorrow, and then they get Texas Tech, a very good defensive team as well. Arkansas is going to get Purdue. I'm telling you, there's not going to be many that probably get to the Sweet 16 just because of the matchups, and that's what you have to look at here in the NCAA tournament is the head-to-head matchups for every round.
Yeah, well, the SEC, I mean, let's say this. The SEC was down in terms of having top 10 teams, but, I mean, the SEC got 8 teams in this thing. I mean, 9 for the ACC was the only league that had more, and the SEC had more top 75 RPI teams than anybody else in the country. So the SEC was one of those leagues that had a lot of good teams, didn't end up having any great teams. They thought Kentucky and Florida were going to be great. Then for a minute, Auburn looked like they were going to be great. They were going to be a 1 seed. So it seems like there's a lot of teams that are kind of middle of the pack teams out of the SEC. It's going to be very interesting to see how many can survive this weekend. You know, maybe it's 2 or 3, 4, you know, Kentucky, yep. Tennessee, you know, Tennessee's got Wright State. They're going to get by Wright State. And then they get the winner of that Miami Loyola Chicago game. I don't, you know, I don't know that Miami's going to survive Loyola Chicago, which could put Tennessee against Loyola Chicago in the second round, and I like their chances there.
Yeah, I'm looking at the bracket now. I'm making the over-under, and this is a quick number I'm putting together as we're talking. I'm making the over-under 2.5 for the Sweet 16.
Okay.
And there might be a number out there, actually. You know, they do it for the rounds and whatnot. But the reason I'm saying that is because the bracket is just tough for the SEC. You got Texas A&M against North Carolina to advance. You're going to have Missouri against Xavier, but I actually think Missouri could win that game. Xavier is a very phony number one.
A lot of people are on that one. Yeah.
And as you mentioned, Tennessee is going to face either Miami or Loyola. I think Loyola is a very dangerous 11 seed. They're only a 2-point underdog in that game against Miami of Florida, and they play a very slow-down half-court style. Tennessee, one of the best defenses in the country. That's going to be an ugly, slow-down, close game throughout. That always gives the underdog a chance.
Yeah. We could have a battle of Wildcats and a battle of Tigers. With SEC teams. Can Kentucky beat Arizona in that second round?
I think both Arizona and Kentucky are two of the hardest teams to predict in this tournament. You know, as I mentioned a minute ago, Kentucky obviously a lot better than they were at the start of the season. You just have to wonder how much that SEC tournament championship run last weekend takes out of them. It could be a catapult, could be momentum for them. We saw them as an 8 seed a few years ago make some noise. Arizona, meanwhile, is the real X factor in the entire tournament for me. This is the team about a month or so could have been a number 1 seed. They fall into the 4 line. They've had a ton of off-court distractions. It really was 50-50 whether they'd make the tournament or Sean Miller might go to jail just a month ago. So this is I think it's very interesting, by the way, that the committee randomly has put in Arizona in a bracket where they get to have to get by Kentucky and Virginia just to get to the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
And then you look at the other half, the Midwest, they put Michigan State, the other black guy in the NCAA right now, having to face Duke to get to the Sweet 16. And it's just going to be, I mean, Duke and Kansas to get out of that bracket. So they obviously did both Arizona and Michigan State no favorites.
You know, Auburn, they get Charleston in the first game, and then ostensibly Clemson if the chalk follows in the second game. Some people like New Mexico to take them out, to take Clemson out. I think Auburn has an excellent chance to get to the Sweet 16, even though they stumbled home, four losses in the last six, got bounced by Alabama in the SEC tournament. But, man, it would seem like if Bruce Pearl can rally that thing and have them play good again, guard play is so important in the in this tournament. I think Auburn could survive those two games, maybe.
Think about Auburn as they played a very fast tempo. College of Charleston is a really good defensive team, the best defensive team in the Colonial this year, slow-down team. If they get by them, they're going to have to face either Clemson or New Mexico State, as you mentioned. Clemson also a very good half-court defensive team. And New Mexico State actually is a top 20 defensive team in the entire nation as well. So tough matchups, all three of those teams for Auburn. Yet they did win the regular season SEC. They went out early in the tournament. I like that when that happens because teams often get a little extra rest. They come in focused and motivated. But those are some tough matchups for Auburn. I almost feel like they might be better off against Kansas than some of those teams just based on the style of play.
Mm-hmm. How much does the loss of DeAndre Hunter hurt Virginia? Some people say, well, if you had Virginia win it at all, you stay with Virginia win it at all. I'm totally honest with you. I had Virginia. I was very much considering taking Virginia all the way through. I don't make my bracket out till just now. I look at it and I look at different scenarios, but I don't like to write names down because if I write names down, then I'm committed to them. I was thinking about Virginia, and then with the Hunter injury, the broken wrist, he's out. It bothers me. It doesn't mean they're going to lose in the first round, but I don't think they win the national championship now. Where are you on them?
Well, the oddsmakers feel that they have taken a blow because when the tournament began on Monday, when the rankings and the seedings came out and the odds came out on Monday, Virginia was a 5-1 favorite. Villanova was 6-1. Now Villanova is a 5-1 favorite and Virginia is 6-1. So it's moved the odds a bit. And Hunter's a very important player. This is a guy many feel could be the best NBA prospect on the team. Now, Virginia doesn't exactly turn out a ton of NBA talent, but this is a redshirt freshman that did not play a lot in the first half of the season. He played more in the start of January, the last 20 games or so. He's been about the third to fourth leading scorer on the team. This is a guy that's very solid from three-point range, plays good defense. He's the sixth man of the year in the ACC. I think Virginia can still win it, but one game it might not matter. But when you have to string together six straight wins, it has definitely weakened the Cavaliers a bit.
Yeah. Steve Merrill with us, prosportsinfo.com. All right. Who's the strongest of these one seeds and who's the weakest of these one seeds? Which one seed is going to go out earlier than most people would think?
Well, I had Virginia as the number one team in the country, followed by Villanova. So that was my 1-2. Now that Hunter is out, I think you can make an argument that it maybe is Villanova. I think they're pretty even now. I've actually got Duke as the third best team right now, and they're only a 2 seed. So I think Kansas is a little phony as a 1 there. In fact, I've got both Duke and Michigan State ahead of Kansas in my power rankings. They're going to have to face off in the Sweet 16 just to get to a matchup against Kansas in the Elite Eight. That's a very tough bracket in the Midwest. By far, the phoniest number one is Xavier. They're not even top 10 in my power ratings right now. They should be a 3 or a 4 seed. A very weak region because of that in the West. Gonzaga as a 4 seed and North Carolina as a 2 seed and Michigan as a 3 seed all rank ahead of Xavier in my power rankings. So I definitely think they're the most phony number one.
What about Ohio State? I'm feeling Ohio State a little bit here. I mean, I know that the Big Ten only got 4 teams in. Purdue is the one that I think is a little bit spongy. In fact, I think Arkansas takes Purdue out in the second round. But, man, Michigan, Ohio State, and I'm big on Sparty this year, but I always am because I love Tom Izzo. But what about Michigan and Ohio State there in that West region?
I think Ohio State's probably better than a 5 seed, but they got no favors with Gonzaga as a 4 seed in the Sweet 16 because – the round of 32, I'm sorry, just to get to the Sweet 16. Gonzaga is vastly underseeded. You know, I mentioned Xavier overseeded as a 1. Gonzaga could have been a 2 or 3 seed based on my power ratings. And they're one of only 3 teams in the country, Tom, that ranked top 20 offensive and defensive efficiency this year. Michigan State and Duke are the other 2, and none of them are 1 seed. So it just shows why these seeds don't always mean everything.
you know, you're not doing much to make me feel confident with my picks. And I don't change my picks, but I'm sitting here, I'm trying to steer you into my picks, and I'm not feeling it. You know what I mean? I'm not feeling it back, you know, on that deal. All right, if you want, you could tell us who your Final Four is and who you got winning it all, because you put your, you know, you put your bracket out there. People can get your bracket for free by going there and sending you an email. But if you want to let us know, because I know, you know, you're going to be putting a lot of for your clients, putting a lot of numbers out there on a game by game basis.
Yeah, no question. Get the best bets for every game at prosportsinfo.com. I'll give you my Final Four here in a minute because I don't mind, because if someone wants the complete bracket, they're crazy not to get it still. Selections for all 63 games, including 8 first-round upsets with that bracket. Just email me, steve@prosportsinfo.com. Mention the show. My bracket's normally $25. You get it for free by mentioning the show, steve@prosportsinfo.com. I've got Virginia and Villanova, as I mentioned, my top two teams. Duke is my third team. And then out in the West, which I think is wide open, I've got North Carolina. But wouldn't be surprised to either Michigan or Gonzaga make some noise there as well.
All right. Now you're making me feel a little bit better with the North Carolina pick. That's good. All right. So then we've been hearing a lot of North Carolina, which means you could totally go the other way. All right. We're also asking our guys to give us a car for the Auto Club 400 because of course, we're sponsored by Talladega Super Speedway with the spring race coming up there. Kevin Harvick, he says, I got your back windshield right here. And is dominant in Phoenix, which we kind of expected. It didn't matter. I mean, he could be out there in a tricycle, and he'd probably win in Phoenix. But what happens now when they go to the Auto Club 400 out there, cookie cutter style?
Yeah, you know, Kevin Harvick, we talked about it last week on the show. He had some severe penalties. I said be very careful with him in Phoenix. But I looked at the practice speeds, and he was first fastest in happy hour on both short laps and long laps. So I had no problem using him again, and he once again was the car to beat. And until we see something different on the cookie cutter tracks, I think you have to keep going with Kevin Harvick. As far as that Talladega race in the future, though, that's when all bets are off. It'll have nothing to do with that race. I think Keselowski's still the best restrictor plate racer out there. And wouldn't be surprised to see Keselowski do well on these cookie cutter tracks coming up in the near future also.
If it's not Harvick, let's take Harvick off. Let's do like we used to do with Tiger Woods in the Masters. We should say, give me a name other than Tiger Woods. So if it's not Harvick, who are some other names that you like out there, and could Toyota be a player out there at all?
Yeah, the Gibbs cars look great again. Martin Truex Jr. was the most dominant driver last year on these, you know, regular cookie-cutter tracks, and I expect him to be very strong this season. Kyle Busch is a close second, and Kyle Larson, if you're looking for a non-Ford or a non-Toyota, I think Kyle Larson is by far the class of the Chevys, and Chase Elliott looks very strong as well with the Chevys. So I'd say Truex, Kyle Busch, Hamlin with the Toyotas, and then Larson and Elliott with Chevys.
All right, good stuff as always. Check them out at prosportsinfo.com and shoot them an email, steve@prosportsinfo.com, to get that free bracket. All you got to do is make sure you mention that you heard them right here on the Tom Abraham Show. Steve, enjoy it, man. Next week we'll talk, and we'll have a Sweet 16.
Sounds good. Thanks, Tom.
All right, man, thank you. Steve Merrow. All right, when we come back, Country Hardball. We'll do that with Alan Carpenter next, right here on 730-1039. Yep.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The Ump. WUMP. Here's what you'll hear tonight on The Ump.
It's the last round of the first four matchups. Starting at 5:30, you get NC Central and Texas Southern, then Arizona State and Syracuse at 8:10. You can listen to all of that action right here on The Ump.
Earnings vary based on your effort. Message and data rates may apply.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in Huntsville and Florence? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Huntsville and Florence area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. Huntsville and Florence are perfect markets for my system, and next week I'm holding a free 2-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get 2 free tickets to Than's workshop, text WEALTH to 82,000. Seating is extremely limited. Text in the next 10 minutes and you'll also receive a free copy of Than's Money for Deals guide. Text WEALTH to 82,000. That's WEALTH to 82.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertising. Merowitz and Wasserberg is responsible for the content of this ad. Attention. If you or your loved one had an IVC filter implanted in your body to prevent blood clots to your heart or lungs, you may be entitled to financial compensation. The FDA has issued an advisory that these IVC filters may break, puncturing veins or organs, causing serious injuries, including heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, even death. Even if you have not experienced any injury at this time, the IVC filters are considered a ticking time bomb by many. Call now for a free legal consultation at 800-469-0112. There are no fees unless you get a settlement. Since 2005, there have been thousands of injuries associated with IVC filters. You must protect your legal rights. Call 800-469-0112. Now to see if you may be eligible to file a claim. Time restrictions may apply. Call 800-469-0112. That's 800-469-0112. Again, 800-469-0112.
When visiting Gatlinburg, the first place to stop is downtown. Traffic light number 5 at Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies. Voted one of the top 5 aquariums in the USA and the world. And top destination to see penguins. Explore the amazing aquatic world close up. Marvel at 12-foot sharks, a giant sea turtle, thousands of exotic sea creatures, and playful penguins. As you enjoy the most spectacular state-of-the-art underwater tunnels. Touch horseshoe crabs, jellyfish, and stingrays. Play in the new 3-story Discovery Treehouse and Play Center, right over Shark Lagoon in the new glass-bottom boat. And coming in June, see mermaids swimming. Ripley's features 7 unforgettable unique attractions in the heart of downtown Gatlinburg, sure to be the talk of your family vacation or weekend outing for many years to come.
This Friday, get your sweet deal of the week for just $25.14. You get your ticket to Ripley's Aquarium to the Smokies. Plus, you can pick 2 of their other 7 unique family fun Ripley attractions. It's the adult you pick combo for half price. Log on to sports.com.
Hey, it's Jim Dunaway and the Roundtable guys on the UMP 103.9 FM. Our next show features Wimp Sanderson. He'll tell us how important Dante Hall is to Alabama if he makes it back into the lineup. Plus, the early tip times. We'll get you ready on the UMP.
Open road. Here comes the Heffley family.
Whether it's a short trip or a long haul.
Estimated time, 47 hours.
They will beg.
You're hungry? I'm happy to provide.
They will plead.
Deep-fried butter on a stick.
But whatever you do, don't wimp out.
Now you're talking.
Make them buckle up.
They get hurt.
Remember, safety first. Cheese curls, second.
Are you orange?
Boots on the ground. It's what we say when our soldiers are deployed to protect our freedom abroad. But now the bravest men and women among us need our boots on the ground. Military veterans are twice as likely to fall victim to ALS, the fatal neurodegenerative disease that robs them of the power to use their legs. Hold someone close, eat a solid meal, and simply say, "I love you," before ultimately losing the ability to breathe. Most often, they remain aware and alert to the world around them as their bodies gradually shut down and die. You don't need to know a veteran with ALS to know it must be stopped, and that those affected need your support. Join the ALS Association's Walk to Defeat ALS and help us find treatments and a cure for Lou Gehrig's disease. Find a walk near you at walktodefeatals.org.
Major key alert. Don't ever play yourself. Life is like school. You will be tested, so pass it.
Learn the real major keys to getting to college at GetSchooled.com.
Stay focused. Now that's a major key alert.
Brought to you by Get Schooled and the Ad Council.
Cool and dry with a sunny sky this afternoon, the high 55. Cold again tonight, clear with a low at 32. Then tomorrow, a warming trend begins, sunny with a high at 67. Friday, partly sunny and mild during the day. Then a chance of showers and thunderstorms Friday night, the high 69. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The UMP.
Hey, it's our time. Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867. Here's Tom Abraham.
You need cool air. Baby, I'm not fooling.
Welcome back, Tom Abraham Show.
Sit, yeah. Back
ripping through getaway day. Remember, we've got basketball wall to wall beginning tomorrow and Friday, so we'll be back on Monday for you. And I'll be bailing at the top of the hour, and T-Mac will take you home the rest of the way, as well as I've got other responsibilities I need to get to as well. I got to get on the road and head over to Lake Hartwell in South Carolina. Joining us now, Alan Carpenter from TomahawkTake.com. Talk a little Braves. Carp, welcome in. How are you?
I'm doing real well. How are y'all doing over there, Big Dog?
Fantastic. Before we get to the Braves, what do you think about this announcement, these minor league rules? They went ahead and implemented them. The 15-second, not 20-second, 15-second pitch clock, putting a guy on second at the beginning of extra innings, which means the 10th inning, not the 11th, first extra inning, they go with a guy on second, and limiting trips to the mound. So what do you think about this stuff?
I have some mixed feelings. First off, the whole purpose of minor league baseball is to develop players and to get them ready for the major league. It's not to overuse them, or not necessarily even to win a game, although you could argue that with the Yankees organization. They all seem to be geared up to win at all levels of the minor leagues, not so much everywhere else. But it's not so much to win, but it's to develop players, and certainly one thing you don't want to do is overuse pitchers. So something that this change will do is enable minor league teams to set up their prospective pitching for a given game and stick with it, not have to have emergency guys in case they go to an 11th or 12th game, or 11th or 12th inning or beyond. So I think that will help the pitchers somewhat in this funny gimmicky way to end games, although I don't like the way that they're doing it. If they were to just say, okay, after 10 or 11 innings, whatever, let's declare a tie, I think everybody would actually be okay with that. This way, what you're doing is you're going to artificially change the standings. Perhaps you're going to make some managers go out there and just try to win at all costs by having the first guy up, bunt the guy to third base, and then just try to knock him in. I don't like it because of the gimmick nature of it. But in terms of minor league development, I understand that if that's really the purpose, but I don't think it is.
Well, no, the purpose is it's a proving ground for Major League Baseball. I mean, let's be honest. You don't do anything in the minors that you don't expect to do, at the major league level. And the other thing that's interesting in minor league baseball, everybody uses the DH as far as I know. I mean, the only place where pitchers hit is the National League of Major League Baseball. Isn't that correct? Or is there any leagues out there where pitchers hit?
In AA and AAA ball, if a National League affiliate is playing another National League affiliate, then the pitchers will hit. Otherwise, yes, it is universal DH otherwise.
So to me what they're doing is, and the argument is this, in the NFL and in the NHL, they change the rules in overtime. That's what they do. They in the NFL, of course, but the NFL less than others, because if you kick a field goal, then you got to kick off and the other team gets a possession too, so they don't change it as much. In college football, they change it. They put the ball artificially on the 25-yard line and say, here, you can go ahead and score from there, like they're doing with baseball. And in the NHL, they go 5 minutes of 3-on-3 and then they go to a shootout. Now the NBA doesn't shoot free throws to determine who's going to win an overtime game. They just play basketball until it's over. Putting a guy on second. Yeah, I mean, that's the strategy I would use, right? Bunt him over, knock him in. I mean, you can get him in without it. And so each team will try to, the key will be to have a pitcher that can, strike a guy out with a guy on third and one out.
Yeah, and I don't like the fact that we effectively changed the game by placing a runner out on second base. Right. And really, I could argue the same thing in terms of the NFL or shootouts in soccer or hockey. It changes the game and changes the way the game had been played up to that point, where the teams had done valiant efforts and come up with no result. But at the same time, it's like, okay, now we're going to throw all that away and come up with this gimmick to come up with a winner. It isn't the same game, and it isn't trying to come up with a winner in the same manner, and that's what I object to the most about this thing.
Yeah, so if you knock that guy in, you don't get another guy in second, right? I mean, so if the first guy comes up and knocks the guy in, and then who is the guy? Is he got to be a guy that's in the game? Is he a guy that's not in the game? Is he a guy that played earlier and is out of the game? I mean, you're going to put a speedster out there? I mean, how do they determine who gets to be out at second base?
there is a declaration about that. It'll be the guy who made the last out of the last inning on the offensive side.
Right.
So if your fifth guy is the leadoff guy in the next inning, then the fourth guy will be the runner on second base. So it's more or less random. But you could also pinch run for that guy. And if you do that, then the pinch runner is in the game. So, yeah, if I were doing that, I'd put a speed guy on second base, bunt him over, then see what happens with the other two outs.
Right, good point. Alan Carpenter with us talking some baseball. What do you think about the 15-second pitch clock? I don't think we're going to see a 15-second pitch clock in the majors, but I think it's a training device. You know what I think it is that we're going to see all these guys come up through A, AA, AAA with a 15-second pitch clock, and then hopefully by the time they get to the majors, we don't have to have the clock, but they have a clock in their body that allows them to get the ball, toe the rubber, and throw the ball.
I think that's exactly right. The minor leagues have been sort of a proving ground for a lot of things that baseball has wanted to do at the major league level, but really couldn't because the Players Association kind of stood in their way in a lot of respects. That was the case with making tobacco-free baseball. They've done that in the minor leagues for a lot of years now. I think that's a good idea, but they weren't able to impose that at the major league level. So what they've done is imposed it at the minor league level. By the same token, minor leagues have been operating on a 20-second pitch clock the last couple of years, so they've already gotten that kind of, like you say, in their heads and as part of the practice and normal routine that pitchers are going to have to adhere to.
Yeah.
Frankly, I think 15 seconds, though, is a little bit quick. And it isn't about pace of play at the minors. It's about trying to get them just moving on so that the major leagues will eventually get going faster. But when you look at major league pitch paces, they're typically in the 20 to 25-second range. So 15 seconds is quite a difference there. And I think it's going to be very difficult to get some of these guys grandfathered in. They're going to have to just do it over time, I think. But at the same time, you're right. Once these guys get to learn how to use a 15-second clock, the pace will probably pick up, although I'm not sure if that's going to improve the game, improve pitching, or if it's actually going to be doing exactly what they hope, which is move games along.
Well, it depends, too, on how it's interpreted. Is it 15 seconds from the time the pitcher takes the ball, or is it 15 seconds between pitchers? If it's from the pitcher takes the ball, the catcher's going to slow the game down. You watch, these catchers are going to lollygag, getting the ball back to the pitcher, and you know, look, there was a rule on the books, and I think still was there, that from the time the pitcher gets the ball with nobody on base in the majors, that they've got 12 seconds to deliver the ball, and that's up to the umpire to enforce. They just have never enforced it, but I know that it's there, and that's when he gets the ball, you know, when with nobody on base. And, you know, and I think that's reasonable. I don't know what they're doing up there, you know, for 10, 15 seconds with the ball in his hand.
Yeah, there's actually a lot of nuances that they put into this rule change, a whole litany of them. But generally speaking, there's three things that got to happen before you start the clock. You got to have the catcher in his catcher's box. You got to have the batter or at least in the dirt circle around the home plate. And the pitcher has to have the ball in his circle around the pitcher's mound. So all three of those things have to come together before you launch the clock. But then it's 15 seconds at that point. And really, if he's wants to take a second to walk around the mound or something like that, that chews up a lot of 15 seconds in a hurry. He can step off. They can go out and do a meeting at the mound. There are a few things they can do to reset that clock. But at the same time, you're pretty much getting the ball and having to set up and throw it pretty quickly.
What are they limiting the trips to in terms of trips to the mound?
It changes depending on the level. You get more trips at lower levels of the minors. I think it was 6, 8, and 10 between AAA, AA, and single A and below. There may have been 10 trips, unlimited for rookie leagues and below that. So it's trying to get teams acclimated to the idea that they're trying to implement in the major leagues this year, which is to get down to the six trips per game.
Yeah, and that includes the catcher going out, right?
That includes the catcher going out. That includes a infielder delivering the ball to the pitcher, perhaps.
Wow.
Or leaving his position to go have a quick chat with the pitcher. So things like defensive positioning in the infield or anything like that are going to have to be communicated either by signs or just yelling across the infield. So it's going to be difficult to to see how the old way of doing things is going to work out. I think teams are going to have to be a lot more proactive in terms of trying to come up with a scheme to communicate with their pitchers to avoid excess, quote-unquote, mound trips that aren't really mound trips.
Does the manager changing the pitcher count as a trip?
That does not, but the same rules that applied before still apply now. If you come out to make the first trip, it counts. The second trip to change a pitcher does not count.
So changing doesn't count.
If you make a second visit to a pitcher during an inning from the dugout, then you've got to change the pitcher.
Regardless,
so that still applies. Yeah.
Regardless of if it's a coach or the manager now. All right, that's good stuff. Alan Carpenter with us. All right, Braves win again today, 5-3. They're almost back to .500 after having a really slow start in terms of winning ball games. So they're 9-10 now in their 19 games that they've played, with about a week and a half or so to go in spring training. And the story, I guess, today would have to be Julio Teheran, who wins his third game, but he goes 5 innings, stretching him out a little bit, gives up 6 hits and a couple of earned runs, but looks pretty good. Today in another outing.
Yeah, he gave up 2 runs overall in this trip, but that raises his ERA all the way up to 1.29.
Yeah,
so
right.
You can tell he's obviously doing some good work so far this spring. Max Fried followed him up. He gave up a run. Max has been scuffling a little bit, but at least made a statement to say, hi, I'm still around in case you need somebody to consider for the 5th rotation spot. I don't think he's a leading candidate right now. I think that's going to be Scott Kazmir. But so far, since we've sort of declared the 5th spot in the rotation as an open competition, it hasn't really been, but it kind of looks that way. Matt Whistler has sort of laid an egg. Scott Kazmir has sort of laid an egg. Nobody's exactly stepping up to take that role. But at this point, Luis Gohar is looking like he's not going to be able to take the ball until about May 5th, into the second month of the season, just because of an ankle sprain that he's had and just getting back together because of those setbacks.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's looking better and better. And Ronald Acuna, it's getting closer and closer to say that he's going with this team north, isn't he?
Well, that's a good question. The official word is that the team is still open-minded about him making the team. Yet, in the same breath, practically, Alex Anthopoulos is telling people that the Braves are engaged, that's his word, in the outfield market, whether they're trying to find somebody via free agency to sign, and there's still a few out there, like a former Toronto Blue Jay named Jose Bautista, perhaps, or via trade of somebody who may be out of options that another team is cutting loose. They still are not entirely settled on who's going to take left field position, and that tells me that they're planning on not bringing Acuna north until at least April 13, where they can get the extra service year out of him.
Yeah.
So that's what I think is going to happen. So despite the fact that with the most at-bats this spring on the team, Acuna is hitting like .419 or something ridiculous like that, I think they're going to hold him out for a couple weeks of the season till that service clock can reset for them.
Carp, always appreciate it, man. Good stuff. We'll talk next week.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, Alan Carpenter talking some country hardball there. All right, when we return, to Big Reveal is next right here on 730-1039. Yep.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The UMP. WUMP.
This is Jim Rome with the CBS Sports Minute, brought to you by Dell Small Business. Talk to a Dell Small Business tech advisor. For years, I've been hearing from Green Bay Packer fans about how they never, ever do anything in free agency. Yeah, not anymore. Not under new GM Brian Gutekunst. He shocked the league yesterday by signing Jimmy Graham and defensive end Muhammad Wilkerson. And in order to sign Graham, they did break off Aaron Rodgers' favorite receiver and one of his best friends, Jordy Nelson. Now, to be fair, Nelson was probably already gone. His fate was sealed not with the signing of Graham, but when Devontae Adams got a new deal recently. But because the Graham signing and Nelson's release came within minutes, it means the two of them are always going to be linked. And now the pressure is on Graham to make sure that his numbers ease the pain of losing a fan favorite and a best friend, Aaron Rodgers. Because if Graham does struggle, there are going to be a lot of bitter Packer fans in 87 jerseys. I'm Jim Rome. CBS.
If you run a small business, you know there's nothing small about it. Dell's Small Business Technology Advisors are here to help with solutions tailored to your business. Get the latest technology, like Dell laptops with Intel Core processors. Plus, with free shipping and a price match guarantee, you know you're always getting the best deal. Talk to a Dell Small Business Advisor today at 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Everyone loves NCAA March Madness. You know why? Because it's also time for Werner Ladder Madness. That's right. During Ladder Madness, you can find great deals on Werner Ladders. Whether you're looking for a new lightweight multi-purpose ladder, work platform, or the podium used to cut down the nets, if you need a ladder, now is the time. March is Ladder Madness. So get your Werner now. Go to GetWerner.com to find the best Werner products for you. That's GetWerner.com. March is Ladder Madness.
Earnings vary based on your effort.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in Huntsville and Florence? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Huntsville and Florence area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. Huntsville and Florence are perfect markets for my system, and next week I'm holding a free two-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get two free tickets to Than's workshop, call 1-800-300-2330. Seating is extremely limited. Call in the next 10 minutes and you'll also reserve a free copy of Than's Money for Deals Guide. That's 1-800-300-2330. That's 1-800-300-2330.
As a small business owner, you're always on the go. So how can you make sure you never miss a customer's call? Grasshopper. That's right. With Grasshopper, you get all of the features of a business phone system that's affordable and incredibly easy to use directly on your cell phone. You get a toll-free or vanity phone number that's memorable and professional. Customers are forwarded to your phone and connected to your team. And you can work from anywhere using Wi-Fi calling or our desktop app. And with our mobile app, your outgoing calls and texts show up as your professional phone number. Voicemails are transcribed and sent to your email so you can determine their importance at a glance. So whether you're on the go or working from home and need to keep business calls separate, or you simply want a professional tone, Grasshopper makes it happen. Set up your account in just minutes. There are no long-term contracts and support is 24/7. Get your calls, stay connected, thrive. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. Grasshopper.com/radio.
Hi, Tom Baudet. Motel 6 is still the place to save money as you travel down the highway. Or, for you Californians, the freeway. Whether you're on a cross-country trek on Interstate 10 or a fun jaunt up State Route 1, a.k.a. the 10 or the PCH, there's probably one of our more than 1,400 locations right down the road. Or, for Californians, just over the hill, but it's rush hour, so I'd take the canyon. I'm Tom Baudet from Motel 6, and we'll leave the light on for you.
The Tennessee Valley Golf Card is back and on sale March 26th. This year's card features a round of golf, including a card at seven area courses, and an hour session at an indoor golf simulator. Visit Gunner's Landing, Links at Redstone, Southern Gales, and Point Mallard. Enjoy a day out at these courses and more, including Pine Hill Country Club, Eagle's Nest, and Links at Briarmead. A $311 value for just $139. And also use it to perfect your swing at X Golf Huntsville. Log on to umpsports.com.
Whoa, long time no see. It's me, the Rock t-shirt in the back of your closet. Dude, remember? You crowd surfed in me, man.
But you haven't worn me in like forever.
I get it, you're retired, but I still got some rock left in me. So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Another cold night tonight. The sky cleared, the low at 32. Tomorrow, a warming trend begins, sunny with a high at 67. Friday, partly sunny and mild during the day, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Friday night, the high 69. Saturday, a chance of scattered showers, the high 73. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
The Tom Abraham Show is back. Listen at your own risk.
Been teasing it forever, but it is that time to get it out there. Let's get right to it too. Now, T-Mac, do you have your bracket in front of you?
I do.
You do. I heard that too. I heard that bracket in front. By the way, one college basketball note before we get to the reveal. Longtime friend of the show and personal friend, Kermit Davis from MTSU is going to be the new head basketball coach at Ole Miss. And we'll have to get old Kermit on next week. Yeah, Kermit's a good friend, and we'll have to get him on. So, all right, I have mine in front of me here as well. So we need to get to this thing, and let's take a look at these things. Now, here's the deal, the way we'll do this. We'll start in the South, and we'll go through the first – we'll go through the winners of the first round, and then we'll just go round by round through there. I'll give mine, and then you give yours. All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
And I have not made any changes. I had made mine out before we talked to Greg Peterson and before we talked to Steve Merrill. And regardless of their takes, I have not made any changes on mine because once I you know, did it on the computer at the UMP Tournament Challenge site at ESPN, then I printed it out and that's it. This is what we're rolling with, okay? So are you ready?
I am ready. Let's do it.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Takes two drum rolls.
The theatrics, I love it.
Really, mine should be, and yours should be.
Exactly. I mean, that's there you go.
The big fat guy, and then the little
a little drummer right. boy.
A little drummer boy. All right, here we go. In the South region, winners in the first round, I've got Virginia, Kansas State over Creighton, Kentucky, Arizona, Loyola Chicago over Miami, Tennessee over Wright State, Nevada and Cincinnati. What do you got?
We have two different. I have Virginia. I have Creighton over Kansas State.
Ooh.
Yeah. I have Kentucky over Davidson, Arizona over Buffalo, Loyola Chicago over Miami, Tennessee over Wright State. I have Texas over Nevada, and I have Cincinnati over Georgia State.
Brilliant. Okay, not bad. All right. In the second round, okay, and to the Sweet 16, I have Virginia beating K-State.
Okay.
I have Kentucky beating Arizona.
Ooh.
I have Tennessee beating Loyola Chicago. I have Cincinnati beating Nevada.
Okay, so we're going to differ again a couple of times here. I've got Virginia over Creighton.
Yeah.
I have Arizona over Kentucky.
Yeah.
I have Loyola Chicago over Tennessee.
Oh.
And I have Cincinnati over Texas.
You blew it!
I don't like your picks at all.
Okay, now this is where the rails come off. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, what am I doing? As I'm doing it, I'm hating it, I'm doing it, but I'm looking at the games themselves, okay? And this is why I don't do it too soon. All right, you ready? I got Kentucky beating Virginia.
Oh, my God. You hated my picks?
I did. I got, yes, I do. Okay. I got Kentucky beating Virginia. I do.
Yikes. Okay,
I've got Tennessee beating Cincinnati. Yeah. I might be wrong.
I'm sorry. I got that all wrong.
I might be, but I have Kentucky and Tennessee meeting in the Elite Eight.
What a homer.
I'm a homer.
Oh, my gosh. I've got Arizona beating Virginia.
Yeah.
And I have
Arizona beating Virginia. Okay.
Yes. Yes. And I have Cincinnati beating Loyola Chicago.
So you have Cincinnati and Arizona to the Elite Eight there.
Game over.
Yeah. Okay. I got Kentucky over Tennessee again. I have Kentucky to the Final Four.
Oh my gosh! I hope that's your.
I just said it. All right, I got Kentucky to the Final Four.
Yes.
Yes! That's what I got. Kentucky to the Final Four.
I hope that's your only SEC team you have in your Final Four. I have Arizona beating Cincinnati and going to the Final Four.
Missed it by that much.
Maybe. You might be right. Let's go to the West. I've got first-round winners Xavier, Missouri, Ohio State, Gonzaga, Houston, Michigan, Texas A&M, UNC.
I think we just ran the board with, same with each other. Xavier, Missouri, is that what you said?
I got Missouri, yeah.
Yeah. Ohio State, Gonzaga?
Yeah.
Okay. Houston, Michigan?
Yeah.
A&M, UNC.
Bullseye.
Yes, sir.
We hit that one right on the money there. Okay, good job, Bass. All right, this is where it's going to go sideways. I have Xavier knocking off Missouri. I'm just not buying Missouri. But I got Xavier knocking off Missouri. I got Ohio State upsetting Gonzaga, even though he said Gonzaga should have been a two seed. I got Ohio State over Gonzaga. I got Michigan over Houston and UNC over A&M.
See, yeah, we are definitely going to differ on the top part of this. I've got I actually have Missouri knocking off Xavier. Mm-hmm. I have Gonzaga taking out the Buckeyes.
What?
Yes. And then I have Michigan beating Houston and UNC beating A&M.
He's not a Rhodes Scholar to begin with, obviously.
All right, I've got Ohio State knocking off Xavier to the Elite Eight, and I got UNC beating Michigan. No, you think I was going to go Michigan, Ohio State, and the Elite Eight? No.
I have Gonzaga beating Missouri, and I have Michigan taking down those pesky Tar Heels.
God, I'm glad we're not teammates on this one, man. I don't even just, you know.
Could be better. We could have the death penalty.
Oh, man, that would be bad, man. That would be bad. All right, in the East, I have got winners Villanova, Virginia Tech over Alabama, West Virginia, Wichita State, Florida over the Bonnies, Texas Tech, Arkansas, and Purdue.
We're pretty close on this one, too. I've got Nova, Virginia Tech over Bama. I've got West Virginia, Wichita State, the Bonnies over Florida.
No.
Yeah, the Bonnies are going to beat Florida. Texas Tech over SF Austin, Arkansas over Butler, and Purdue.
Oh, so we're pretty close.
Yeah, missed
pretty
it close by that much.
Yeah, we were pretty close.
Yeah, you were close. You were pretty close.
No, you were pretty close to the right bracket. All right, to the Sweet 16, Villanova.
Okay.
West Virginia over the Shockers. I've got the Florida Gators to the Sweet 16 over Texas Tech. I've got Arkansas knocking off Purdue.
My gosh, you got a lot of SEC on SEC.
I got five SEC teams in the Sweet 16, okay?
I got Nova over VT, West Virginia over Wichita State, Texas Tech over the Bonnies, and Purdue over Arkansas.
Yeah. I don't even know if we know what we're talking about here.
You two are just dumber than a bag of hammers.
All right. Trudy's Elite Eight, I got Nova beating West Virginia, and I got Florida beating Arkansas.
I got Nova beating West Virginia, and I have Texas Tech knocking off Purdue.
And I got Nova to the Final Four.
I have Nova to the Final Four.
In the Midwest, I got winners Kansas, Seton Hall, Clemson, Auburn, TCU, Michigan State, Oklahoma, and Duke.
Oh, we're a little mixed bag here. I've got Kansas, NC State. I've got New Mexico State, Auburn, TCU, Michigan State, Rhode Island, and Duke.
Let's get nuts!
All right. to the Sweet 16, Kansas and Auburn, Michigan State, and Duke.
Kansas, New Mexico State, Michigan State, and Duke.
And then I got Kansas and Michigan State to the eight.
Same. Kansas, Michigan State, lead eight.
I got Sparty to the Final Four.
Kansas to the Final Four.
All right, so I got Kentucky, UNC, Villanova, Michigan. I have Kentucky. I have UNC. I have UNC over Kentucky. And I have Michigan State over Villanova. So I got UNC and Sparty in the national championship game.
I got Arizona, Michigan, Nova, Kansas in my Final Four. Arizona is going to beat Michigan, and Kansas is going to beat Nova. Arizona, Kansas in the championship.
And I've got Michigan State winning the national championship over UNC, 74-71.
I have Kansas beating Arizona, 77-69.
Man, we got a lot of differences when we get that. one or the other is going to be looking pretty good. We'll see. So there's my bracket. There's T-Mac's bracket. Make sure that you get into the contest. All right, I'm Gonzo. T-Mac's taking you home. T-Mac, take care of my show, will you, here?
Always do, big dog.
All right, we'll talk to you on Monday. Coming up next, Matt Scalise. Check that. Bo Estes with Antonio right here on 730 1039. Deal.
Sports Radio. The Ump. Because we care.
The Final Lap with Carrie Murphy is on.
Our Wednesday driver spotlight features Eric Almirola. He drives the number 10 car for Stewart Haas Racing, a brand new ride for him. And I asked him how that whole deal came about with Tony Stewart.
So we've talked about it for a long time. Tony and I have been friends since I moved to North Carolina and started racing a late model for Joe Gibbs Racing. And we've built that friendship over the years. And so for the last, honestly, 3 or 4 years, we've talked about, trying to figure out a way to get me over there to Stewart Haas Racing. He's always expressed interest in wanting me to come over. And when he retired and got out of the 14 car, the timing wasn't right and things just didn't work out. This just happened to be perfect. There was an opportunity there with Danica retiring, and they they approached me and wanted me to come over and drive the 10 car, and obviously I was really excited about the opportunity, and so everything just kind of fell into place. All things lined up, and I'm a lucky man. I feel very blessed and fortunate to be over there at Stewart Haas Racing. They've got great people, great equipment. The cars are fast, and we're off to a good start this year so far, and I'm having a lot of fun.
And Eric racks up yet another strong run this past weekend at Phoenix. He finished 7th. You are on the Final Lap.
Want to refresh your wardrobe and home? Get to Kohl's Friends and Family Sale and take an extra 20% off with promo code FRIEND. With an extra 20% off, LC Lauren Conrad floral tops are just $23.99. Jumping Beans tees are only $6.40. And a KitchenAid Artisan Stand Mixer is $299.99. And you'll get $60 Kohl's Cash. A spring refresh for the family, Kohl's Cash for you. Right now at Kohl's. Select styles. Offers valid March 14th through 18th. Some exclusions apply. See store or kohls.com for details.
Okay, let's clear a few things up about secret clinical strength antiperspirant. Number one, it's not actually a secret. You can tell anyone about it. Two, it's clinically strong, which just means it's good at preventing sweat. Like, twice as good as regular antiperspirant. Three, strength is a cool word. You don't really see it a ton on women's deodorant packaging, so we were like, sure, let's shake things up. Four, sweating is the worst. 4.5, not sweating is great. So you should buy secret clinical strength antiperspirant.
By the time that we got up there, his room was filled with smoke.
The wind had blown and drifted the snow up against the side of my house, blocking the exhaust from my furnace.
I heard the smoke alarm going off in my friend's apartment.
Without the Kidde smoke alarm, my son would not be here today.
Had it not been for that carbon monoxide detector, they would come to school and not have their teacher there.
I grabbed my fire extinguisher and put out the fire.
Kidde makes technology that saves lives.
Get these essential products at your local retailer today.
Hey gang, Tom Abraham here for Woody Anderson Ford. Have you noticed the weather lately? Spring is definitely in the air, and you know what that has me thinking about? Getting my vehicle serviced at Woody Anderson Ford. Now, Woody Anderson Ford at Jordan and Sparkman Lanes has incredible new service lanes. So clean, it's like pulling into a NASCAR garage. Plus, the service team is first rate. They're knowledgeable and courteous. So if you go in there and say, it's kind of making a whirring sound when I turn the wheel, or it clunks at the stoplight, well, they got you covered. So get your spring service now at Woody Anderson Ford.
Time is a precious resource. Each day, we look for ways to get things done in a more efficient manner. When it comes to your business, you not only need things done fast, but you need them done right. At Minuteman Press, Jonathan Dunwoody and his team pride themselves on making sure they deliver the best products and services for your company as quickly as possible. Whether you have printing or signage needs, solo direct mail pieces, banners, yard signs, even vehicle lettering and graphics, Minuteman Press handles all types of signage and printing, and since 2008 has helped thousands of businesses in North Alabama grow with their printing needs. Stop in and see Jonathan and his team at Minuteman Press. Minuteman Press, 2250 Sparkman Drive, right off North Parkway next to the Super Walmart. At Minuteman Press, we're not just putting ink on paper, we're building relationships.
If you ever want to buy a house or a car, you're going to want to know your credit score. If there's a mistake on your credit report, you could pay more in interest rates and fees than you have to. Where can you go online to quickly get your credit score and credit report for free? CreditKarma.com/radio. Check it whenever you like. It's free and there's no catch.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The Ump. WUMP Madison. W28 OBA Madison Huntsville. A Cumulus Station.